Tonight, as we continue our one word study, we're going to be looking at the word church. When we think about the word church, obviously we look at it in the biblical context and understanding what the church entails. Many times we talk about going to church, but we're really not. Many times we talk about going to the church building, but that's not what it is. You see, when we think about the word church, we think about the Greek word ekklesia, which means to be the called out ones. We being the body of Christ, as the Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 5, that Christ is the head of the church, of which we are the body and members thereof. So when we think about the biblical definition of the word church, it's simply a body of collective believers that come together that worship God. But as we go through our lives and as we go through the day, we are also the church, even when we're not together. So when we think about the word church, we understand who we are as a body of believers. And we see the word church, obviously, throughout the Bible. Even Paul references this in Romans 16 and verse 16, to salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ, the body of Christ, salute you. But when it comes to being a part of the church and what it means to be a member of the church, tonight I want to look at the church a little bit differently. Because when we think about the church in relation to being a family, to being a body of believers to which Christ is the head, it means that we are to be one and we are to be united in Christ, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, that we are to speak the same things and we are to be unified. So when we think about the church and being a family, we want to have a strong family unit. So tonight, as I pose the question and we think about the idea of what it means to be a church, tonight I want to see, how do we make up the church in relation to it being strong? How can we make our family stronger? Because the stronger we are and the more united we are on the front of which we stand in the world today in which the devil is walking around like a roaring lion, we want to make sure that we're strong as a family and body of believers. Because we also know that the world does not have the same views as we have concerning what it means to be a church family. When you look at churches as a whole in the world, there are strong churches and there are weak churches. So let me ask you this question. What is your idea of a strong church? Well, I preached in a lot of different congregations and doing gospel meetings around the country and overseas. I've done gospel meetings in Russia and Jamaica. And when I think about the idea of a strong church, it's not what the building looks like, but rather it's how the family develops itself within that congregation. I've been to congregations as soon as the lights or as soon as the sermon was over and you said amen, it was like cockroaches when you turn the light on. Gone. Nobody was sticking around. Nobody wanted to talk to each other. So when I look at the church as a whole, as individuals like that, there's a problem. Because doesn't a family want to be together? Doesn't a family want to spend time together? You know, I like the fact that sometimes we have to turn the lights off here to get people to leave the building. That's a good thing. That's a good problem because it shows signs of a strong church family because we want to spend time together. So when I think about strong churches, not only do we understand the church is preaching the truth because the truth must be preached, but when I think about strong churches, I think about the family as being united. There are a lot of experts who show us or who think they can show us how to make a strong church. And whenever I go into a bookstore, and I do that not as often as I used to because Amazon's a great thing. I don't even have to go to the store anymore. But you go into the bookstore and I pick up these books that say how to make a strong church and how to make your church better. And every time I open these books, it talks about gimmicks. Let's bring in different ideas and let's bring in these big fancy speakers and let's give away money. And I saw one church that was giving away flat screen TVs to the first 50 folks. Flat screen TVs, huh? Brother, if that's the only thing getting you to church, you probably shouldn't be there to begin with. Because it's not about flat-screen TVs, it's about Jesus. So when we think about these individual philosophies of man and their ideas of what makes a strong church, I see those books on the bookshelves and I'm thinking the greatest book that you can go to that will teach you how to make a strong church is the book that God wrote Himself. And that's the book that we stick to. That's the book that tells us how we make a long church. And though this subject could be exhaustive, I'm not going to spend as much time as you might think on it because I think we could sum it up pretty quickly in what's going to make a strong church, and that's what we want to talk about tonight. The first thing for us to do if we're going to be a strong family and a body of believers is that we make it strong spiritually. Because if the church is not strong spiritually, the church is not strong, period. Because it's got to be founded upon a truth. That is, it's got to be founded upon an idea or a foundation of the truth, as the Bible tells us in John 17 and verse 17. And that foundation is given by Jesus Christ. And everything that we do concerning the truth is done in the name of Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:17 tells us, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." So when we think about the idea of what truth is, and even Pilate himself said, "What is truth?" as he was looking truth in the face, the church has got to be strong spiritually speaking. That is, faith, or to fill it with the knowledge of God's Word. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 talks about individuals that desire the sincere milk or the meat of the Word. So when we think about filling a church and making it strong spiritually, that is, we've got to know what the Bible says. Because if you don't know what the Bible says, you don't know what you're supposed to do. And there's a lot of churches, quote unquote, that are going through the world simply guided by the philosophies of man rather than guiding by God's Word. Again, we're sanctified and we're set apart because of what God's Word tells us to do. And the best thing for us to do is simply plain biblical preaching, right? The preacher is instructed to preach the Word, to be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. The preacher is instructed, therefore, to make sure that he's preaching the whole counsel of God because it makes us complete unto every good work, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. So when we fill the family with the Word of God, it's instructed and knows what it should do concerning the Word of God. Brethren, the church is going to be strong spiritually. So we don't shy away from what God is telling us to do because that's our center line of which we walk and we focus ourselves on. And we're also supposed to continue in the apostles' doctrine. Acts 2 and verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and of breaking of bread and in prayers." So there's a pattern that we follow. The apostles have laid the ground by which we're going to follow after them. And by doing this, we continue to speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4 and verse 15. And also, not only to make that church strong spiritually because of the Bible, we also make it strong because we pray and we talk to the Father. You see, this is the will of God for us, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 17 and 18, that we are to pray without ceasing. The idea is continuing forward that effort in which we're always talking to the Father because we have to make the church strong that way. And my question always is this, of individuals that lack in their prayer life, and sometimes people struggle with this concept, who else would you rather talk to when you're struggling than the Father in heaven? Who else would you rather talk to ask Him to bless the efforts by which we're trying to achieve and to do here at the congregation to carry? So the Bible also tells us in James 5 and verse 16 that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. And with that, the blessings come. So if we're going to make the church strong spiritually, not only do we got to preach the truth, brethren, but we've also got to continue to pray to the Father. We've also got to make sure that the church is united. Now, we understand that in families you never have disagreements, right? You never have disagreements. You always get along and there's never any arguments, right? Shake your head like this. We understand because we are family and because we aren't perfect, sometimes we don't always agree and sometimes we don't always get along. We're human beings. But one standard is true, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, that we speak the same things and that we have the same mind. Because we have to be united on what the Bible teaches. Sometimes we let traditions get in the way of doctrine and we've got to be careful about that. But this command by the Apostle Paul is to speak the same thing, and that, listen to this, the latter part of the verse is that we're perfectly joined together. You know what that means? Sometimes we set aside our petty opinions and ideas. Sometimes that's a hard thing to do. But when it comes down to the church being united and being a united front and as a body, if there's something sick within the body, you've got to take care of it and you've got to make sure that it's healed. But if we're not united in doctrine, if we're not united in prayer, then we can't be united in truth. So we've got to make sure that we're a united body of believers, and we've got to be diligent to make sure that we are unified, to be edified, as the Bible talks about in Ephesians 4 and verse 3. And we're commanded to protect ourselves from those who would destroy the church and destroy its unity, Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. And that's not always an easy thing to do. The Bible talks about a little leaven. Leaven's the whole lump. And Paul talks about in Romans chapter 16, if there's not anybody that's walking with you, then they're against you. And sometimes we're so blind because we get caught up in our opinions and we get caught up in traditions and ideas that we forget what the Bible tells us to do. So we've got to make sure that we're united, not only spiritually speaking, strong as a church, praying as a church, teaching the truth as a church, but to make sure that we're united as a church. Because, brethren, if you're not united, you cannot stand with God. But also we've got to make sure, and here's an important factor, we've got to make sure to make the church strong spiritually, we've got to be a loving church. And we've talked about this over and over again. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 7, all of our efforts fail if it's not done in love. And if we're not speaking the truth in love, again, Ephesians 4 and verse 15, then what we're trying to do to be united, to be a strong church spiritually speaking, if it's not done with the effort of love, then it means absolutely nothing. You know what Paul said you sound like? A bunch of clanging cymbals. You're just making a lot of noise, but you're not accomplishing anything. So if we're going to be united and to be strong spiritually speaking, we've got to love each other, plain and simple. And Jesus said that's the greatest commandment that we talked about today, to love each other, to love your neighbor. So we've got to make sure to be strong spiritually. We've got to be a loving church. We've got to be pure in love. We've got to be fervent in love, 1 Peter 1 in verse 22. But I think more importantly, we've also got to keep it unspotted from the world. James calls it pure and undefiled religion, James 1 and verse 27. Brethren, the world wants nothing more than to tear the church, the body of believers, down. And that's the devil behind every bit of it, every step of the way. But we've got to make sure that by our actions and by our deeds and how we carry and how we handle ourselves in the world, that people see Jesus in us and that we're not bringing a spot or a shame to what the body of Christ is. Because guess what? If we, being members of the church, bring a blemish upon the body of Christ, guess what? Jesus is not going to present us to the Father because He cannot present us to the Father if it's got a blemish on it. Because the church has to be perfect and pure because it is the Lamb of God that's going to bring it forth to the Father in heaven on the day of judgment. So when we think about that and the idea of what it means to shine the light, you see, our sacrifices, as Paul says in Romans chapter 12, as we look inwardly at ourselves, have to make sure that we're reflecting the light of who Jesus Christ is. So that's how we make it strong, spiritually speaking. We preach the truth, we pray, we love each other, we're unified, there's no factions or divisions among us, and we have to make sure that we bring no shame or anything that might cause it to be a blemish on the body of Jesus Christ. But we do all of those things, but we've also got to make it strong in deeds. That is, if we're going to walk or talk the talk, brethren, we've also got to walk the walk. We've got to fill it with zeal and devotion. You remember the warning that Jesus gives in Revelation chapter 3, beginning around verse 14, concerning those that would claim to have zeal? And He talks about them being lukewarm. And what does Jesus say about individuals that are lukewarm? That He wants to spew them out of His mouth. That they make Him that sick to His stomach. So when we think about what it means to be zealous of good works, there were a lot of individuals in the day of Paul that Paul said, you have zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. We understand the knowledge is the truth of the Scriptures. We understand what it tells us to do, but now we've got to put those things into action. We can't simply give lip service that we talked about earlier this morning. Lip service means nothing to God. Again, Jesus said, if you love me, you're going to follow the things that I command you to do because you love the church. And if I love the church, then why would I not want to make sure that the body is strong and that it's complete and that it's thriving? I know sometimes we don't always take the best care of ourselves, and I still try to stay away from the Oreo cookies. But we want to make sure that we have a good, long, healthy life, right? Because we want to take care of our bodies. Isn't that really what we're trying to do with the body of Christ? Take care of it? That it might have a long, healthy life and continue to grow and add more members to the body? Certainly. But we should be just as zealous for the church. You think about John chapter 2, the example of Jesus throwing the money changers out of the temple. I mean, this upset Him so much because of what they were doing to the cause of what He was trying to accomplish through God and teaching people about Himself, that He was angry at how they were treating and acting towards God. Should we not have the same zeal of individuals who try and bring forth disunity within the body of Christ and those outside the world that try to tear down the church of Christ? Should we not get just as mad over those who tear down the body of Christ as we do when our football team loses on Saturday? Absolutely we should, because sometimes I think we have our priorities backwards. You see, we should have such a love and zeal and compassion for the Lord's church that anything that might bring anything against it should upset us, spiritually speaking. You see, we have to make it strong in zeal, we have to make it strong in devotion, and we've got to make it strong in our attendance. You look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, talks about not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but as we see the day approaching, that much more encouraging one another. You see, the idea that the Hebrew writer is talking about isn't necessarily looking at the Lord's Day, but he's talking about at any time the Christians were coming together. And obviously there was an issue that when they would come together, they were forsaking that assembly. So whenever they called for the Christians to assemble and unite, there were individuals who said, I don't want to be there. But again, why would we not want to be with our family? I mean, after all, that's the one we're going to spend all of our time with in eternity, isn't it? I think about individuals who say, well, I don't need to go to that much church. That's a lot of church. Well, that's a lot of family is what you're saying. And you're not wanting to spend time with your family is really going to hurt you in eternity, because that's the only person you're going to see. We talk about some people say, you know, I'm not really big on singing, so I'm going to sit back and not sing much. What do you think we're going to do in heaven? We're going to be singing praises to God all the time. So when I think about the idea of what it means to attend, I'm not only attending to spend time with my family, I'm attending because I want to worship God. And when we worship God to make the church strong in deeds, we've got to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We've got to make the worship scriptural. We've got to make it warm, but we've also got to make it spiritual. It must be in truth, 1 Peter 3:21. And again, Galatians 3 and verse 17, that whatever we do in the name of Jesus Christ because of who Jesus is. And when we do that, we're doing it because God tells us to. It really upsets me when I see individuals taking away or putting into the Bible concerning worship that which is not there. And to hear somebody say, well, I think God would like that, really makes my skin crawl. Because, brethren, God tells you what He likes and what He doesn't. And adding anything to that hurts the Lord, because you're putting in something He did not justify nor clarify or tell you that He wanted. So if we're going to worship Him in spirit, we've also got to do it in truth. Sanctify them by thy truth, again, John 17 and verse 17. You see, it must be by truth and it must be in spirit, Acts chapter 16. But we've also got to fill it with personal workers who above all things long to win souls for Christ. These kinds of workers are going to cause the church to grow. You think about Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. And they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word of God. These individuals were scattered abroad because of the persecution that was coming down upon the church. But guess what they kept doing? They kept on preaching because they loved souls and they wanted to see the church grow. Personal workers also invite souls to church. And the Bible also tells us that personal workers are wise unto the Lord, Proverbs 11 in verse 30. Also, if we're going to make it strong in deeds, we've got to be cheerful and liberally giving, because God loves a cheerful giver, and giving is done with liberality, as Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12, because we want to see the church's work continue. We don't do it with car washes or fundraisers or gimmicks, as a lot of the world tries to do. We do it with the money that the saints of the body of Christ give, because they want to see the work continue and grow. You see, we're not giving really our money. We're giving God back that which He blessed us with. And if we look at it that way, sometimes it's easier for us to talk about that. Nobody likes to talk about your money, right? The only person we like to talk about our money is us. But when we think about it in the idea of what God talks about, it's really His money that God is letting us borrow. You see, God wants us to be cheerful, but He wants to do us as we purpose in our heart, because we want to see the church grow. We want to see it exceed and excel forward, because we love souls and we want to see those things happen. But if we're going to be a church strong in deeds, we've got to be a working church. That means we've got to be willing to roll up our sleeves and to get our hands dirty in the Lord's work. It's not always glamorous or glorious, and sometimes it's not always fun. But brethren, if we're going to make our church strong, it means we've got to get busy. And sometimes here's what happens, is we allow other people to do the work for us. God says He doesn't care for individuals like that. And sometimes I understand, because of the size that we are, it's easy for us to get lost in the crowd. And we think somebody else is going to do that. But if you have that idea, don't you think somebody else has that idea as well? And if too many people have that idea, then what work of the church is going to get done? Nothing. We cannot put off our responsibility on somebody else, brethren, because we will answer for those deeds on the day of judgment. Because God is going to list the things that we've done, whether those things are good and whether those things are bad. And I don't want to hear, "You were lazy." God doesn't like lazy Christians. The Bible tells us that He does not like lazy Christians. Even Paul talks about those individuals that have their hands to the plow and look back. He says, you've got to get busy in the work of the Lord. Paul talks about the idea that individuals who will not work should not eat. So when we think about that in relation to the Lord's work, think about that in relation to your spiritual lives. That doesn't mean all of us are cut out to do different things in the church. The problem is that we cannot bury the talents that God has given us because we're lazy. If we love the Lord, then we're going to shine the talents that God has given us. And sometimes we think those talents are really small and insignificant. Brethren, I can tell you those talents are huge in the sight of God. It might only be one compared to the five that somebody else has, but your one is just as important as the person with the five. So if we want our family to be strong and to be thriving and to be zealous for the Lord, brethren, we've got to get busy doing His work. After all, if you love your family, don't you want to work for it? I mean, don't we love each other enough that we want to help each other? That means we have to pitch in and be willing to ask what needs to be done. I know that you all love the church as much as I love the church. And I know that you all want to see the church thrive and you want to see it grow because, like me, I love my family. I look forward to Sunday every day because I get to spend time with my family. Why would we not want to be here with our family? I know sometimes we don't always get along. I know sometimes perhaps we might disagree over our sports teams and we prod each other and have a good time. But when it comes down to it, brethren, we're all the same family that want to go to heaven together. That's the church that we're a part of. The church that's unified and united in Jesus Christ as the head. And tonight, I want you to be a part of that church if you're not part of our family. It's simple. The Lord will add you to it if you're willing to accept the gift that He gives. And because He's gracious in the gift that He gives, His commands are not grievous and they're not difficult. Simply, you must be willing to accept the truth of the gospel and you must be willing to obey what He tells you to do. And sometimes people allow that step to trip them up because they listen to the commands of men rather than God's commandments. But the Bible simply tells us what we must do for the Lord to add us to His body, Acts 2 and verse 47. So tonight, if you want to be a part of that family that loves each other unconditionally, that's willing to put up with each other sometimes even when we get on each other's nerves, that's willing to serve the Lord and to serve His body, and to be part of that one unified body in Christ, that's where we want you tonight, to stand with us and to stand for Christ. If you're willing to repent of your sins tonight, confess your faith and your love for Jesus Christ because He died for you at Calvary, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and Matthew 10, 32, and to put on Christ in baptism, to have all your sins washed away, Acts 2 and verse 38, then you will be added to the Lord's church. He's going to put you in there. There's no membership fee that you have to pay. There's no yearly giving in relation to being a member of the Lord's church. The Lord wants to add you to that body. And tonight, if you're here and you're a part of that body, but you haven't been pulling your weight in the body, we want you to fix it. We want to pray with you tonight. We want to encourage you. And if you feel that you can do more, or you feel that perhaps you're struggling within the body, we want to encourage you tonight as well, as together we all stand and as we sing.